I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
When you start breaking Wilt Chamberlain's records from 1968, you've done something. And it didn't happen just once last night. It happened twice. Russell Westbrook had his 10th straight triple-double, breaking Wilt Chamberlain's record from 1968. And James Harden had his 30th straight 30-point game, becoming only the second NBA player to ever do a streak like that. The other guy, Wilt Chamberlain. Boy, that Wilt Chamberlain guy was pretty good, Lance.
Wilt Chamberlain was pretty good. Again, you can't compare eras, and I know he was a physical force that had never been seen before when he was actually playing it in the association back in the day. And look, this was going to be one of my four down questions for you guys, but I want to throw it out there. Which one are we more numb to? When James Harden goes 30 plus or when Russell Westbrook actually has a triple double?
Oh, they wash over me, both of them.
I mean, they really do. And it's sad because, you know, 10 years ago, this would have led SportsCenter each and every day. And I guess it kind of still does. It just doesn't seem the same, though.
You know, and you said you can't compare eras. That Wilt Chamberlain team, I believe, had Jerry West and Elgin Baylor on it. Neither one of these guys have a Jerry West or an Elgin Baylor on their team.
Well, I mean, right now, Russell Westbrook, the way Paul George is playing, Paul George has been lights out. I mean, he's a top 10 MVP candidate right now.
Man on fire is what he is right now. And so, that's helping, and you know, that's helping Westbrook out a little bit.
You know what's interesting about this, too, is, you know, I would look at this and I would say, you know, the teams aren't great and they're really not winning. But the Thunder are your third seed right now. The Rockets are your fifth seed. The Rockets are 21-9 during this Harden 30-plus point streak. And Russell Westbrook in this 10th consecutive triple-double, they're 9-1. So they're winning games, too.
It makes it more interesting that they're winning. Oklahoma City's having, to me, its best, more relevant year it's had since they broke up that team, since Durant left. They look like more of a contender than they've ever looked, and that's because George has been so good. And that makes these stats more impressive to me than it was when Westbrook was trying to carry them to be a 6 seed or a 7 seed and just make the playoffs on a solo show. That didn't do much for me. It's more impressive now that they are a playoff threat once they get there.
Brown, fair or unfair, these two seem like two of the most selfish players in the history of sports. And that might be really unfair, especially when you're looking at Westbrook. It's a triple-double, so you've at least got to have 10-plus assists.
So you got to pass some.
During this streak. But it just seems like these are me players.
Well, I mean, I think they have to be. I mean, I think that's the thing. Westbrook definitely had to be last year. Harden has no other choice this year. We did it last week with Kobe saying the same thing you just said, and Harden agreed with him. He's like, yeah, I'm taking too many shots, but I have to. So I think Harden has been forced into being a me player by Houston. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, Russell Westbrook gets a really bad rap. People, I think he's a bad teammate and would hate to play with him. But as you said, the guy averaged a triple-double last year. You got to pass to average a triple-double. I mean, that's the only way you can do it. So at least he's passing some. I just think Harden doesn't really have anybody to pass to.
OKC wins last night, 120-111. That was a good win for the Thunder. But what is Magic Johnson doing these days? Is he starting to – nothing's going to take away his legacy as a NBA great, one of the top five players of all time. But as a executive in this league, is Magic Johnson's reputation starting to take on a little water, that he's being beyond the rules in the way he's contacting Ben Simmons and tampering or any of that stuff? Or is this what you would want out of your front office guy? And that's why you like Magic Johnson, because he carries so much weight publicly. His Q rating, if you will, is so high that maybe he is above the law a little bit.
Well, the tampering with the comments last year, inadvertent, but it was tampering, and he was fined for that. What you've got right now is a situation that I think the 76ers and Elton Brand, they misspoke a little bit. And Magic Johnson is getting the blunt for this, and Elton Brand has come out, and he said, look, he did apologize for that radio interview, insinuating that there was tampering on Magic's part. What had happened, Ben Simmons wanted to have a conversation with Magic Johnson about his career. That was it. And so the 76ers actually put a call into Rob Pelinka, the Lakers general manager. They asked if that could happen. Pelinka said, we've got to have your written permission for this conversation to take place. So the chain of events that went down kind of got thrown off. And because Elton Brand said that Magic Johnson wanted to have a conversation with Ben Simmons, which wasn't true, it gets blown up. Now he's apologizing for this.
Brian Windhorst last night on ESPN SportsCenter called Magic his actions unacceptable.
This is really inexcusable for Magic Johnson to even bring this up in front of the media. I have no idea why he did it. It's very unusual. The Lakers and Sixers can point at each other, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Under no circumstances would the Sixers give Ben Simmons permission to do this at all. The Lakers even having a tangential discussion about it is a non-starter.
Rockstar, honest to goodness, if that music, no matter what you said in the world, that music behind you.
It's movie trailer music.
It is. I always think that.
Is going to make you seem like an action hero. He could be Brian Windhorst again with that music.
I ordered peanut butter and I ended up getting just chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm really confused with this now because Windhorst is one of the more credible guys that follows and covers the NBA. But I don't understand how Elton Brand has come out now and he said, look, this was a miscommunication.
I don't either. It's a confusing story to me.
And I never thought Ben Simmons was even a possibility to join the Lakers. Ben Simmons and the Sixers, they've got something special building right now. Why you would even want to mess around with the West Coast and the Los Angeles Lakers, which are a complete mess right now.
It's LA, man.
I think this thing will get fixed, though. And it really, a lot of that is dependent upon what happens this summer if they're able to get one of these big free agents to join LeBron James, which I think ultimately they will. But Ben Simmons is a guy that I never even thought was on the radar.
Well, let's put this in terms people can deal with on a day-to-day basis. You're in college. You're dating a girl that's probably a little too hot for you. And she tells you she's going to a party that you weren't invited to. And you know the jocks are going to be at that party. The good-looking jocks, right?
Yeah. J.O.
Just to talk to Steven. She wants to ask
Yeah, just
stuff.
Steven. Yeah, I'm just going to go hang with Steven. He's just a good friend, rock star.
J-O-C-K-S, not J-O-X.
Yes, Jim. You
know, we're not
yes.
going to be there.
In college.
He said man, not dog, gods.
Yes. How comfortable would you be with that setup? She's never cheated on you, but she's going to a party with a bunch of dudes. They're all good-looking guys. She's a little too hot for you.
Is she drinking?
Oh, there's probably going to be alcohol at the party, Lance. Yeah, it's college.
They're going to be giving her knowledge.
Yeah, but she's just there to talk, Lance. Why are you going to be so defensive? See, I mean, you wouldn't be comfortable with that, would you?
Never.
So if you're the 76ers, I don't even know why you would let Ben Simmons do this. Because it's obvious that
Magic's trying to build a team.
The Magic's on the prowl. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons is not available.
I know he's not available, but yeah. I don't even want him to plant the seed. I mean, LeBron will never play for anybody other than the Lakers. I mean, he's going to retire out there, right?
That's the assumption.
Well, when is Ben Simmons available? 2 more years?
Yeah, so 2 more years. 2 more full years after this year. I mean, it's a long time. I think the summer of, if I'm doing my math correctly, 2021.
Okay, so that is a long time. So I would feel a little bit more comfortable in that situation. But I just don't want... I love Magic, but I just don't want Magic around my players at any point right now. There's too much recruiting going on.
I am winless as a New York Knicks fan. They've lost 17 straight. A franchise record, I think, 17 straight.
When was the timing when you jumped on the Knicks? I was wondering this when I was reading. Can I go on to give my incredible stat of the day? Because it has to do with the Knicks.
They were on a 10-game losing streak when I jumped on board. So they've only lost 7 since I've become a Knicks fan.
Well, they've been consistent, at least.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the incredible stat of the day?
Sure, go ahead.
Since the Knicks' last home win, do you guys realize when this was? It's before the SEC championship, December 1st, 2018.
Yep.
38 different sports teams have won in Madison Square Garden. 38 different teams. That's 16 NBA teams, 11 NHL teams, 10 men's college basketball teams and 1 college hockey team since the Knicks have won a home game.
None of them the Knicks.
But they're tanking for Zion, right?
Look, and I think Zion can ultimately be a special player, but you still got to get the ping pong ball to bounce the right way. Your percentages obviously go up if you've got the worst record. It doesn't guarantee. It's not the NFL, though.
It is
so
not.
So imagine tanking, and with the Knicks' luck, we all know how they got Patrick Ewing, right? It was a bent corner.
Yeah, it's about time for the NBA to do that again.
To bend the corner for Zion?
Yeah, to try to save this franchise.
Well, if you can get Kevin Durant and Zion, then the future probably is a little bit brighter for Knicks fans. But, I mean, that is amazing. Since their last home win, 38 different teams have won in Madison Square Garden.
That's what all of us Knicks fans are hoping. Zion and KD.
Including Quadruple X, whoever won the Westminster Dog Show last night. I don't even know what kind of dog it was. But.
Oh, yeah, that was another winner at Madison Square?
Yeah,
he also won.
Who's been playing well for you guys, though, Dunaway?
You know, I really I really have enjoyed John Starks. He's been really bombing from downtown.
He's tough.
Lenardi has new bracketology out now. And he says he's holding his nose on one. That's Oklahoma as the last team in bracketology. Florida's out now. They're one of the first four out with Indiana, Florida. And then that's it on the outside for the SEC. It's Florida making it eight teams in, or the SEC is going to have seven teams in the way it stands right now. Oh. Alabama's stock has improved. It is to a 10 seed. Auburn's at a 7 seed right now as you get to the Tuesday-Wednesday games for Alabama and Auburn.
Lenardi was arguing last night because you mentioned he's holding his nose on Oklahoma. And he was arguing last night that he would be cool with them going to the mandatory 500 record.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That would have been Alabama last year. Was Alabama 8-10 in the league last year?
I think that's right. I'll have to go back and check. I mean, Oklahoma's 3-9 right now. They're not even close to 500.
Yeah. I mean, if you're two games below 500 in your league and you're in a Power 5 league, and we know that sometimes some really good basketball is played outside of the Power 5, right? Are you, if we're leaving Memphis out this year to put in a, and Memphis is not playing the same schedule, but, you know, is Memphis a basketball team or Wichita State this year, who's actually below 500 in the American, so they would not be part of this discussion. But there are teams like that in these other non-power leagues that, you know, play pretty good basketball that get left out because we pack the Power 5 in there for TV ratings.
Right. Here's a good example is the Ohio Valley. Let's say Belmont wins that tournament, but you got Murray State out there. Who's got one of the best players in the entire country, right? They might get left out under normal circumstances, but you start eliminating teams that are worse than 500, it opens the door for teams like that. And my question is, what do you want the tournament to be? I'm like Lance, I don't know why we're always trying to reinvent this, but do you want the tournament to be half and half, non-Power 5 versus Power 5, or do you want the name brands in there with a sprinkling of upset possibility non-Power 5s? And I don't know what people's answer is.
I don't want to sound like college football fan, but just give me the best 68 teams.
Well, you say that, but I don't know that that's whatever. I think that's a good principle to have done away.
Right. It's the same way in football. It's a good principle in football, but do we really want the four best teams in
right.
there? Or do we want the four deserving teams in there? Or do we want four really
or
name brand teams.
Or do we, the four teams we really want to watch. Yeah. And that's the thing with the NCAA tournament. As we point out on this show often, ultimately what they are doing is not necessarily building the best field of basketball teams, but building the best field of TV ratings. I mean, it's a TV event. CBS wants the NCAA to hand them a bracket that's got attractive names in it.
Look, you've got enough accessibility, enough information where you can actually put together the best 68, in my opinion. Again, Brown, I don't know why we're trying to recreate this thing. I mean, you go back and you look at some national champions, and I know this is different. We remember how good the Big East was, but we remember when Villanova pulled off one of the biggest upsets in college basketball history, and they beat Georgetown. You know what their conference record was in 1985?
They were an 8 seed, so it couldn't have been good.
They were 11-8.
11-8.
And then let's go back to 1983 and Jim Valvano, when they actually, the NC State wins a national championship. They were 8-6 in the ACC. So,
right.
I mean, those are basically borderline 500 teams winning national championships.
And that's before we knew as much about, I mean, that's, it seems to me at least, I wasn't, you know, I was a young pup then, but it seems to me that was before we had the Wichitas of the world.
Well, it was the NC State upset run that really started putting the NCAA tournament on the sporting map. People paid attention, obviously.
And now NC State and Villanova, Jim, are considered power teams. Those weren't power teams then, right?
No, but that was Cinderella. And that's where, you know, the Cinderella run of NC State and those really started to build up, everyone filling out a bracket, and everything that we know of the NCAA tournament today really started with Bird and Magic and Michigan State and Indiana State, and it just built to that. But then all of a sudden you had an NC State and then Raleigh's team winning the championship, and all of a sudden then Cinderella becomes the talk of March. And that's really when the madness took off. Now, yesterday at Ole Miss, they got rid of their DB coach, Jason Jones, to start with. Their defensive back's not good last year. But away from it, they put the final, boy, I don't know how many final chapters they've written on this NCAA investigation. I thought it was done already, but yesterday they come out vacating 33 wins across six seasons. 33 wins across six seasons. Hugh Freeze now leaves with 12 wins as the coach there at Ole Miss, 12 of them. But listen,
he is the best 12-win coach probably, in Ole Miss history.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the vacating of wins, we have said it on this show 1,000 times. It really doesn't matter because we all adjusted in our heads and we all saw the game. So we know Ole Miss beat Alabama twice during that run. You're not going to take those away, this and that. But when the athletic director, Ross Bjork, comes out and says, listen, this is just a piece of paper. We all saw the games. Isn't this one of those things in life that adults don't say out loud? We all know. We can say it. We're not in a position of authority. Everyone knows it means nothing. It's a vacation of wins. We all saw the games. We enjoyed our hottie toddies in the Grove. We went to the stadium. We beat Alabama. We saw it happen. But when the AD says it, shouldn't the NCAA step in here and do something or say something? Or, I mean, you all of a sudden.
What else
taking,
can they do to Ole Miss?
They're going to burn the joint down?
Yeah, I mean, they have skinned them alive.
You're taking a toothless penalty of vacating wins, and now you're saying it's toothless. That's usually when the man comes back and knocks you upside the head again.
I'm with Lance. I don't know what else they can do.
He shouldn't say this.
No, he should, Dunaway. He should say it. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Matt Luke is their head coach. I don't know what else he can do to this program. I have no idea. And again, I'll give Matt Luke a lot of credit that he's been able to at least keep this thing together. Semblance of it.
Bowl eligible last year. The athletic director should play the game. He should play. It's a toothless nothing penalty. But when you, it's like when your mom or your dad would spank you, and you said it didn't hurt.
Right.
Well, then I gotta punish you some other way. If the AD's coming out and saying, you know, this is just a piece of paper, it really means nothing. Well, then all of a sudden, if I'm the NCAA, I gotta go, well, wait a second. I believe because of our football DNA in our state, we overreact at different times throughout basketball season. And we never let it play all the way out. And sometimes it comes back to haunt us. You have brought up a question, Brown, about could this be the most disappointing season in Auburn basketball history? And I'll let you explain your thought here. It has something to do with expectations,
it
right?
does. Now, there are caveats that go along with this, is that the expectation for Auburn basketball, and I don't know that anybody had higher expectations for them than you, Jim.
Elite Eight and
Final Four contender.
Could contend for the Final Four. If you're playing Elite Eight weekend, you're a contender.
Yeah, they look nothing like that right now, a Final Four contender. They do not look like that at all.
They are struggling.
And you were not alone in this. You were not alone at all. There were a lot of people that thought this was an Elite Eight Final Four team. You kind of beat me to my punch. I don't think you ever realize you're watching a disappointing basketball team in basketball season. You realize it in football. When a team gets to three or four losses in football, it's over. And you know it's been a disappointing team. But, Lance, this Auburn team at 5-5 in conference, where they are overall, looking like a 7-8-9 seed team right now, you make a run in the tournament, you forget all that we've seen, right? So that's why this is a difficult discussion in basketball. But my only point is, based on their expectations, they have certainly appeared to have fallen short right now of that type of team.
Yeah, I would agree. Right now, they're sitting at 16-7, and a lot of this is based on the last seven games. They're 3-4 in those games. They're giving up almost 75 points per game. They're giving up a lot of points in the paint. This is a team that can't win on the road in the SEC, 1-4 in conference play right now on the road. But as they did just about a week and a half ago, they won three consecutive home games. They're about to win three straight. I think they're going to beat Ole Miss tomorrow.
So they're going to be 8-5, you think?
They're going to beat Vanderbilt on the road. Vanderbilt, I mean, that would be a bad loss. Vanderbilt obviously yet to win in the SEC. And then I think they beat Arkansas back at home. So I think that's three consecutive wins. I don't think they're good enough right now to beat Kentucky and Lexington, and that will be that fourth game coming up. But after they win three straight, then we can turn this around and say, you know what? Auburn's won six of the last seven.
Now, I
believe LT, what he is saying there to be true. I think that is about to happen for Auburn as well. And when you get to the tournament, having Harper and Bryce Brown, if they're both healthy when you get there, is such a matchup problem, I believe, in the tournament, unless you just get somebody with you get paired up in a game against some elite inside powerhouse. I think this Auburn team still is a threat to win two games in the tournament.
And another factor, one of the reasons when we look at this defense, you know, giving up over the last seven games 74.3 points per game and giving up almost 31 points in the paint is because Austin Wiley. I mean, this is a guy that is not healthy. I mean, something's going on. He only played 5 minutes against Florida, only played 3 minutes against LSU. You got to get him back healthy and playing regular minutes.
I don't know if that's going to happen. I really don't. Yeah.
The team that I was going to compare it to, I think this is the best comparison, at least in my lifetime, was the 1999-2000 Auburn basketball team, who Sports Illustrated famously picked them as the number one team in the nation. They were the cover of Sports Illustrated.
And preseason.
Preseason. Yeah. But they were preseason AP number four, Jim. So it's not like Sports Illustrated was out there all by themselves. I mean, the AP voters had them number four, and they were as high as number two.
It's not like they were old Sport magazine, for those that remember that. They would always come up with a wacky preseason national just champion of football or basketball just so that it wouldn't be Sports Illustrated.
But that team ended up as a seven seed in the NCAA tournament. They ended up, they lost Chris Porter, and they ended up a little bit like this current Auburn team, where in the middle of the season, they, you know, kind of had some blah moments, and they finished terribly down the stretch. And ended up getting bounced in the second round by Iowa State, 79-60. That is probably the most disappointing one that I can remember in my lifetime. Some of these Sonny Smith teams, I love Sonny to death, but you look back at some of the players they had at the same time and you wonder how they didn't go deeper in the tournament. Same is true of Wimp, frankly. You know how we feel about Wimp on this show, but you look back at some of the collection of players he had and wonder how they never made it past the Sweet 16. Wimp's going to love that Thursday. That Auburn team right now has some similarities to this Auburn team. And you hope Auburn can pull it out, but if this team doesn't, it's going to go down as one of the most disappointing Auburn teams ever, just based on expectations preseason. Well, you're stuck in traffic. Rockstar gives you something to look forward to on this gloomy day with his viewing menu. It's presented by U-Break iFix.
Interesting, on 9 p.m. on HBO, The Many Lives of Nick Bonacani. It's premiering tonight.
Yeah, you know,
I don't.
Yeah, my wife asked me, who is that? And I explained.
Remember, he used to host Inside the NFL.
Yes, I explained to her. I said, great linebacker with the Dolphins. And then he was the host of the HBO. And we all know what happened to his son. But the guy also was a lawyer, an agent. And they run through all of this. And now, of course, he is suffering from dementia at the end of his life. It looks like an amazing trailer. I will watch this.
And what channel is it on?
HBO. 9 o'clock. Then 9:30 on TBS, there's a new show premiering. It's called Miracle Workers with Daniel Radcliffe, and Steve Buscemi plays God.
Mm. I've seen the trailers to this. It does not interest me.
I 100% think God looks better than Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, I was going to say, God's got a better look. Well, 100%.
He's wearing long hair.
Oh, okay. Long white hair?
Yeah. And then 10:35 on ABC tonight, you got a new episode of Kimmel. His guest is Charles Barkley.
Oh, how about that?
Hot takes.
Some irony there. Hey, so last night I started on Netflix this series called Murder Mountain. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah, you're going to flame out quickly.
Yeah, it was a slow start.
I watched the first three episodes, and I'm like, what in the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
It seems so intriguing.
It does.
Like the concept.
They sell you hard on the trailer.
They do, but then it just goes to this one case, and it flames out. I wonder if any of our listeners actually finished Murder Mountain.
Well, it's only like five or six episodes in the first season.
I got four deep, and I shut it down.
Yeah, it was a pretty slow episode, but I thought, okay, it's about to pick up in this next one.
And back to Buscemi. You know he's got a brother?
Mm.
So Black Klansman,
is my ugly brother.
No, it's probably the best film that I saw this year. His brother is actually in that.
Do they look alike?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's a distinctive look. Well, that's a tough draw. Oh. You're the Buscemi brother without all the money. That is a bad draw, isn't it?
We call that a Clint Howard.
Okay, I want to debate right now, those of you that occasionally turn on the NFL Network, and I love this show. We're unfortunately on when they're on as well, but I catch a lot of their stuff on
really
social media.
Really good show, a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Peter Schrager, does he wear eyeliner or not on the show? Or is that just a natural look for him?
It's a Derek Carr look, and they both look like they have eyeliner. There's no way, because it's so over the top, that they're actually wearing eyeliner. There's no way. That's his look. There's it's a weird look.
There's no way he's not wearing, you say?
I don't think David Carr wears, Derek Carr, but both of them look like they do.
Okay, if we can find a picture of him on set, I want the debate. Does he wear eyeliner?
Kay Adams does.
Well, she
she's
does.
Female.
Yes, I just in my years of TV, they They tried to get me to put some coloring on my lips. And
you're the only male I know that shops at Sephora.
Yeah, well, I don't anymore. To my teenage daughter's disappointment, all the Sephora points I had. But they but they did.
Great statement.
They did want me to put, like, tiger stain red on my lips to make them pop on TV.
Pop.
And I was like, no, I'll throw in a little base and a little powder for you, and that's about it. If you're putting eyeliner on, I think that's a little too much. We all throw a little powder on TV occasionally. A little too much if you're going eyeliner.
I mean, Freddie Mercury probably wore it, right?
Well, I think you get a lot of it in acting or movies.
Kiss.
I mean, Poison. I mean,
Kiss.
Yeah, they wear a lot of stuff.
They dip their faces in paint.
Yeah. I think they could be on the eyeliner there.
But Peter Schrager does look like he wears eyeliner. There's just no way.
He does, because I see him. He does some sidelines in the NFL now, NFL broadcast, and he looks like he has eyeliner on the sidelines.
He was doing Rams-Saints NFC Championship game, but I mean, there's just no way.
But let me ask you, he probably makes pretty good coin, but he's on the NFL Network, he's on Fox. If they told you for that money, for your look, we're going to need you to wear eyeliner, you say yes, right?
I'd be wearing the ugliest toupee ever. Locally they told me I needed to wear a toupee, I told them no thank you. But if I'm in the NFL Network and they're paying me north of $1 million, you can put any raccoon skin hat on me you want.
That if they wanted locally, they wanted you like Tuesday, and then Wednesday, like, that boy's got a full head of hair.
Look at Dunaway.
They really rock star, true story.
I don't know, but how
transition? Long did you wear the coon skin hat?
It was 48 hours.
Weren't you itching the whole time?
Yeah, I wore it on TV, remember? Speaking of paying off the bets, I convinced 42 to let me wear it in a newscast back when I was a sports guy.
So ridiculous.
Rockstar, they brought in a makeup and a look artist from Los Angeles, flew her in.
And she sees you and she goes, oh, my God.
No, everyone else, they're recommending different makeups and stuff. That's all she's doing, makeups and colors, good colors for you, bad colors. First thing she does to me is hand me a sheet that says how to age gracefully on television. This should have been a lawsuit, by the way.
I was about to say, I'd have saved that sheet if I were you.
Age gracefully on television.
She just said, I don't have my glasses on.
And then she said, why don't I get you a toupee? I got a guy you could wear a toupee. I said, our meeting is over. No, thank you, ma'am. Kyler Murray, fully committed to the NFL now, returned a $1.29 million check to the Oakland Athletics. Throw me the best starting quarterback in the NFL that you would give up to put Kyler Murray in his place.
So if I'm this team, I would say I will gladly give my guy up and take Kyler Murray.
Just start giving me guys, and I want to get to the best one you think I'll give up.
And this guy's got a ton of potential still, but I give up Trubisky for Kyler Murray.
You would give up Mitch Trubisky in Chicago for
really
Kyler
would.
Murray.
Playoff team Chicago.
I don't trust Trubisky on the road at all. I've seen it, and I've been up and down on Trubisky. I was the guy that I hated when they drafted him, and then at the end of his rookie season, I said, you guys watch out. This guy's got a ton of potential. And then last year, I really thought he was the Achilles heel of that team.
You may have just named that tune in one note. It's going to be hard to get higher than a playoff quarterback, right?
Well, I mean, if Lance has given up Trubisky, you can't trump that. I don't know who else would you give up? That's a guy that was in the, in the playoffs, 12-4, won their division.
Well, let me ask you, another guy that was in the complaint, would you give up Lamar Jackson? I think I would.
Now, see, you guys know I'm not a huge Lamar Jackson fan. The game is moving towards him, though. Baltimore's fired up about him, 10-6 this past week.
He can't throw the football.
They win the division.
He cannot throw the football.
Well, they look bad in that playoff game.
I mean, when they were winning, I mean, they were doubling everyone else in yards per game on the ground. I mean, and it was all because of Lamar Jackson. And I don't know if defenses will figure that out. It looked like San Diego did, or excuse me, the L.A. Chargers did.
Everybody in the AFC East except the Patriots, right?
I don't know if you'd give up on Darnold.
I would not give up Darnold.
No, yeah, right. I mean, I think Miami's going to give up on Tannehill, so you could definitely put them in there. The Bills.
And Josh Allen, to me, is still way too raw. I would give up Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think Dolphins and Bills definitely win the AFC East.
AFC North, everybody but Baker would you give up on?
I don't think they're going to give up on Roethlisberger,
Roethlisberger's maybe a year or two. I think I might. I know that sounds crazy because he's a Hall of Famer and he's got a guy that's got multiple rings.
And Andy Dalton, he definitely would, right?
Yeah.
Boy, all Andy did was take that horrible franchise to the playoffs over and over and over and over.
I think in the AFC South, the only team that would take him would be Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Even in Tennessee.
Yeah, I would not give up on Mariota.
Because the report card is still
it's
still very C, right?
Yeah, I think it's very C. I think a lot of ups and downs, kind of like Trubisky. but a little more proven than Trubisky. He's won a playoff game.
Oakland is a likely landing spot for Kyler Murray, which, by the way, is the Oakland A's hometown.
So it's going to be weird.
And what it's going to set up.
Of course, he may never play there.
Yeah, but he may never. But if you look at.
I think Denver would be an interesting fit, too.
It would be. But the Oakland, just pause button for Oakland for a second. If you watch Deion's double, the 30 for 30, which I enjoyed thoroughly and probably have not given Deion enough credit over the years for being a two-way player, the fact that it was Atlanta helped that out a whole lot. It was the Falcons and Braves, same town.
Yeah, I mean, one playoff game he helicoptered in, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, that is what was the beginning of the end of Deion in Atlanta, not only with the Braves and the Falcons, was the fact that John Schuerholz, who does not come off very well in this documentary, really put his foot down on Deion and really got on the wrong side of him, wanting to play a game against the Dolphins in Miami after playing a playoff game in Pittsburgh and then flying to Miami, playing the game, and then coming back
and
playing a playoff game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, think about that.
They benched him when he came back. Showed up a little late, didn't play him, and they got on the wrong side of each other then.
But Oakland and Oakland, to your point, of course, again, even if he's on the Raiders, he will probably never play a day in Oakland. It doesn't look like they're going to play there this year. But that would be an interesting combination there because of the fact that he was originally signed by
Denver,
the A's.
I still think
Denver needs a quarterback. You're right there on that one. In the NFC East, Kyler's a Texas kid.
Yeah. Dallas. No way over Dak.
Are you kidding me?
No. Are you kidding me?
Do you remember?
He took him to the playoffs.
Do you remember how much Jerry Jones wanted Johnny Manziel?
Yeah. You do not. There's not a Dallas fan out there that
would
trade.
Well, I'm not saying Dallas fans. I'm talking about the guy who owns the team.
Yeah, I think love Johnny Manziel.
Well, yeah, but he never makes – I mean, there are times
Kyler
he doesn't make great decisions.
Might I'm not saying be it's better, a great decision. But I think Dak is good enough to get you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not – I'm just talking about the brain of Jerry Jones wanted Johnny Manziel and that show and Kyler Murray.
But he could have had Johnny Manziel.
He could have. His football people talked him out of it.
They were right.
They were right. They don't always get to talk Jerry out of bad picks.
I let you talk me out of that one.
Yeah. And that you don't think Jerry Jones would say that in the war room?
You talk me out of Johnny. You're not talking about
out of Johnny.
One.
We're not going to miss a Kyler Murray. Good publicity, at least anyway, for Birmingham. I don't know if anything will happen with this. In fact, I doubt it will. But Birmingham has partnered with Tucson, Arizona, in an effort to host the Raiders for the 2019 season. For those that aren't following that, the Raiders look like they can't find a place to play in Oakland. They don't want to go back to the Oakland Coliseum. San Francisco's out. Levi Stadium's an option, but they're looking for a place to play. The Coliseum, the Rose Bowl, all options.
What do you think the number of games our average listener would go to? Like, as a Rams fan, I wouldn't go to one Raiders game because I wouldn't miss a Rams
game. Well, I wouldn't miss a Dolphins game. To do it, we'd only get four games if you go half and half with Tucson.
50-50 split, yeah. It would get... And the maybe Raiders, an exhibition game in four.
Yeah, and I don't know. The Raiders may have a London game. They may be giving up a home game for London. Do they? So you may only get three games. I don't know. I think if you only had like three or four games, some of it's dependent on the opponent too. Like if they played the Cowboys here.
No, I think you would sell out every one of those games. I'm just saying, I wonder how many of our listeners that are diehard fans of a team would actually give up their game to go see the Raiders. Yeah, I wouldn't. If
I would
was
not.
A game in prime time.
I would easy.
I would not.
I'd easy go watch a NFL game in person. Than watch the Bucs on television.
Again, I'll point out that Legion Field does not meet the NFL standards.
No. I'm actually having that conversation on the phone right now.
Yeah, I don't know that. I appreciate Birmingham having vision and a city councilman aiming for the fences, but the NFL would take one look at Legion Field and say, no thanks.
Yeah, these Raiders, they think the Coliseum's bad with the backed up sewage and the rats running around. If they got a gander at Legion Field,
nowhere close.
They would die.
Yeah, we'd have to make upgrades.
Just
to get ready.
And to do that for three or four games would seem rather silly. Rod says, I don't know if this is fascinating to me if true. I have reached out on Twitter to see if there's any experts on this. I don't know if it's true, but I've always heard if you're hit by lightning, it increases your chance to get hit again. Lightning changes the body's electrical system somehow. That's fascinating. If you get hit by lightning and it changes your electrical system, and then all of a sudden you're more prone to get hit by lightning again.
You would think, though, if you get hit by lightning, you survive, you should be given some kind of power, right?
Like you should be able
to get hit by more lightning.
Apparently you are.
What was the terrible Scott Baio film, Zapped? You remember that one? But I don't think he was actually zapped by lightning. Yeah, was it like something that went awry in the chemistry department or something?
Zaps. Did y'all ever have those candies?
That's potato chips, isn't it? Zaps.
Zaps are good chips. Now the Zap photographer, I remember that.
Yeah. That's
probably, Zaps.
That's probably lost some people's careers, right?
That's probably bringing down politicians across the country.
Oh, I see what you're. I got Zap chips. I don't see candies.
No, wasn't there? Wasn't it
Zappos?
It was a little heartbeat company.
No, Zots.
Was it
Zot, and it fizzed in your mouth?
That's what it was.
Yeah. Zots.
And they came on a sleeve, and the different fruit flavors. Yep. The Zot was good, yeah. You could get it at Farrell's in the old Brookwood Mall.
A hard piece of candy, and it had like that white stuff fizzed out.
Yeah. It was really good for your teeth and probably organs.
It was basically acid is what it felt
like. Yeah, didn't you hear the urban legend, if you swallowed it, your stomach would explode?
Pop Rocks. Pop Rocks and Coke.
Yeah, would cause your stomach to explode.
There are many benefits to banking with Bryant Bank, whether it's the convenient banking solutions like instant issue debit cards and mobile check deposit, or the thousands of banker volunteer hours spent in Alabama communities. Bryant Bank is your hometown bank with big bank benefits. BryantBank.com, BryantBank.com, member FDIC.
Now I think our listeners have crossed the line and are just trying to trip us up here. But Phil says his dad has been hit by lightning 3 times and he cannot wear a watch because it won't keep time correctly.
Oh, come on.
Okay, rest of the show. Tell us things you think you can make us believe about lightning strikes.
Because I halfway believe that one.
Yeah.
The 3 times is the part I don't believe. I don't think you could survive it 3 times.
You do have to have a different dental filling. Like, once you get a cavity,
your fillings
if
up.
If you actually get struck by lightning, you have to have the different fillings. It's scientific.
Yeah. I don't think you can wear a belt with a buckle on it.
All right.
You got to wear the tie belts once you get struck by lightning.
The tie belt? What, like Hillbilly Jim?
Kid?
Jethro from Beverly Hillbillies.
It's amazing how many people have been struck by lightning. A buddy of mine, I had no idea, said indirectly tubing struck 13 times 10 feet away from him.
Well, that sounds awful.
Said it hurt.
I would imagine. Right there.
I would imagine it hurts. Goosen apparently only got hit once. By
13
the
times.
13 times indirectly.
4 downs. Brought to you by our friends at Vulcan Tires. Those tires are important in lightning storms.
Oh,
they'll save you.
First down.
Moving forward, would you take Kyler Murray or Teddy Bridgewater? Bridgewater's going to be an interesting free agent.
Boy, he is. I mean, do we 100% know about his long-term health? I mean, I know he's back playing, but he kind of looked like a shell of what he once was.
I don't think we're going to know until he plays, a good portion, 3, 4, 5 games.
I think I'm going to go
against Carolina.
I think I'll go Kyler Murray here.
The Bridgewater injury happened when?
It'll be 3 years this summer.
Yeah.
I think.
Almost lost his life, not just his leg.
So that was back in 2016 when that happened. So he hasn't played in 3 seasons of competitive football.
Well, we saw him play week 17 against Carolina, and it didn't look good.
Too much time has passed. I'd go the other direction. I'd go away from Bridgewater.
I think I would go Kyler Murray, too.
Second down.
Who sees the field first, Kareem Hunt or Alex Smith?
Miss injury, Kareem Hunt self-inflicted. I think Alex Smith, if he ever plays again, will be back faster than Hunt. I mean, Hunt's on his way to being suspended for at least a year.
Well, I don't know. It's really interesting that John Dorsey, your now general manager of the Cleveland Browns, who drafted him with Kansas City a couple of years ago, they've signed him to this one-year deal. Now, that is pending, and the NFL's got to get involved, and they've actually got to give him the thumbs up. I think they're going to let him on the field, but, I thought Nick Chubb was really good this year down the stretch, and I thought, Duke Johnson was a nice change of pace back. I don't know why
you would want to
bring in the baggage of Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Hunt seemed, of all the teams, Cleveland seemed like a weird spot for him. I think I'll go, but Alex Smith, they think, is going to miss this year, right?
Yeah. And I personally think Hunt will, too.
Yeah.
I think Hunt sees the film field before, though.
I disagree.
Third down.
Better chance of happening, John Gruden wins another Super Bowl as a head coach or Brad Pitt wins an Oscar?
I'll go Brad Pitt wins an Oscar.
I agree with Brown. I'm going to go Brad Pitt wins an Oscar.
I don't even know what Pitt's working on, right? Is he working on anything?
I think he's
right
only
now?
Been nominated for one, and that was 12 Monkeys, which is a really good film if you guys haven't seen it. I think that's his only nomination. But
Laurel says Benjamin Buttons.
Was he nominated? Okay, that's a great film, too. His shelf life. I mean, he can get an Oscar not at 90.
I think a role of a lifetime will come his way at some point and he'll get it.
He's very versatile too. Like I brought up Snatch, the film. If you saw him play the gypsy in Snatch, I mean, he can do a lot of different
things.
Well,
they said that when he, who was the director? They said when they got him to do an Irish accent.
Guy Ritchie.
He said, do the Irish accent. He said, oh my God, you're awful at it. We're going to have to make you up a language. We're just going to make it up because his Irish accent was so bad.
Well, I looked up IMDb to see what he's working on right now. Boy, he's executive producer of a lot of stuff right now.
Well, that's what he does now, right?
Is he not in the Tarantino film where we've been talking about a million times?
I would assume you would have stumbled across that by now as many times you've read that. But
they're about to break ground on that this summer, aren't they?
It actually gets released this summer.
Oh, I believe that.
They've already started filming them.
Yeah, have they now?
No way it gets released this year.
It will get released.
Is it going to release first or does Kareem Hunt play first?
That way, we're going to watch the release in the new Birmingham Stadium. That's what's going to happen.
Fourth down.
What happens first? Mark Few wins a national championship at Gonzaga or the rest of the SEC field? One of the 13 teams outside of Kentucky wins a national championship.
Gonzaga is going to be a one seed this year. But I just don't buy it.
Boy, he's done a great job, hadn't he?
He finally broke through. I mean, but he's
been they were going to win it.
He's been a perennial disappointment in the tournament, honestly. But he finally broke through big last year.
Cost Dunaway 25 minutes at the start on.
This, by the way, is this may be his most complete team.
Could
deepest,
be.
Deepest, most complete team.
I still would go 2 years ago when they played for the national championship. This is a really good team. I just don't think they are there with Duke, Kentucky, maybe even Tennessee.
Both of these. Tennessee or Gonzaga could win it this year. So I'm going to lean. I'll take the other 13 SEC teams.
I think I would take Gonzaga. And
I think
I'd
go Gonzaga.
Willing to,
okay, I'll go stick on that. I'll take the rest of the SEC versus Gonzaga.
And this is, and it ends when Mark Few stops coaching at Gonzaga. That's the expiration date.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's Four Downs brought to you by Vulcan Tires.
I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. We've all heard that mortgage interest rates have started to rise, but I'm not here to scare you like those other banks and mortgage companies. I'm still locking loans in, saving people thousands of dollars a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.